We hear again from the appointed Old Testament reading of Genesis 45. And Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, come near to me, please. And they came near. And he said, I am your brother, Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. In the name of Jesus. God has made a promise to you. He put his name on it. Promise is gift, an oath made. When you give a promise, you put your name at stake. Break a promise, it's dishonor to your name. I might say something like, I made a promise to the bank to pay my mortgage every month, but that is not really a promise. It's a contract. We all know that. A promise is an oath made on your name. It's a man telling a woman he binds himself to her and will continue being husband to her until parted by death. He put his name at stake. It's a mother promising her child that she loves him and will never give up on him. Her name is at stake. Outside of promise, things are a contract or a trade-off, a deal made. Things are of the law. The law gives no gifts. If I pay my electric bill, PNM keeps my power on. If I don't, the power goes off. That's just transaction, law. A promise knows none of this. It's gift, it's oath, it's the promiser putting his name at stake. A bride and groom treating marriage as transaction, that marriage will last as long as the deal seems good. The bride and groom have departed the promise. A young boy thinking his mother loves him only as long as he picks up his toys, that boy knows life as transaction. He's departed his mother's promise to love him, a promise where she put her name at stake. You have a promise. It's gift. It's oath. God put his name at stake with you. In holy baptism, he gave you his name, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Lord said he would be with you always in that promise, even until the end of the age. If he doesn't keep you, his name is empty. But the problem with a promise can be that it never seems sure to us. Not anyway by anything we see or anything we experience. God gave his name to you by oath. You're a child of promise. But does it always seem that way? When your conscience is struck by guilt, does it seem that you belong to the promise? Or does it maybe seem that God is far off, like he doesn't really want to hang around sinners? Maybe a husband laments breaking his promise to his wife in his shame. Does God's promise still seem sure and certain to him? Or would he rather not think about it, not think about how God regards him now? That is the problem with a promise for us. It always seems in danger, at jeopardy. A contract isn't like that. A contract's a sure thing. If I don't pay my electric bill, they cut me off, black and white. The law doesn't leave any room for doubt. A promise? Room for doubt. At least it seems so. Will God keep his oath to me? Even if I see no reason why he should, and certainly I know reasons why he should not. Joseph's brothers show up in Egypt. Back home, it's famine. People driven off farms, families hungry, no hope to be seen. It's getting worse. So it's off to Egypt. They have food, they hear. Maybe they'll get lucky and be able to take some food back home to their elderly father, Jacob. Joseph's brothers are men of the promise. They are sons of Jacob. Jacob is son of Isaac. Isaac, son of Abraham. To Abraham was given the promise. Genesis 17, verse 3. And God said to Abraham, "Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you." So Abraham is a man of the promise. God made an oath. He put his name at stake. If Abraham doesn't live, God's name is no good. If Abraham doesn't have many generations of offspring, God's name is no good. If Abraham's son dies, God's name is no good. These brothers of Joseph, looking for food in Egypt, they are Abraham's promised offspring. They belong to the promise. If anything happens to them, God's name is empty. But here they are, starving and just looking to live one more day. How sure do we think God's name seems to them? Not only that, but these brothers we know had earlier tried to kill Joseph before selling him into slavery in Egypt. If Joseph had died, how would the promise to Abraham have stood? If these brothers had succeeded, would the Savior be born of Abraham's lineage as promised? Would he have come forward at all? If that had happened, would we have Jesus later born of Mary as our Savior? Because Jesus came in the lineage of Joseph and his brothers. Take a look at Abraham. The promise would come from his offspring, the Lord said. But he messed things up. He took another wife. The Lord never told him to do that. Then look at Abraham's son Isaac. Isaac had trouble even getting the blessing transferred to one of his sons. Then we see how Isaac's son Jacob ends up under threat of death from his own brother Esau. At every step, the promise is in jeopardy. It seems too shaky to be a promise from God. The law, God's law, it doesn't seem shaky. You break the law, you're guilty. The law comes easily to a sinner. Never any confusion. The law is clear as a bell. That's why we hear it in our conscience. But the promise is the gospel. It always seems shaky. Seems hidden always by what we're actually living through every day. We know the law by our flesh. It's written on our hearts. It's all around us. Never in doubt. The promise, though, we will never know that by our flesh, never by our reason or rationality. The gospel comes to us from outside of us. It comes to us by the preaching of the Word of God into our ears. When God has his gospel preached, he is making an oath to us. That's the promise. It depends not on what we see, certainly not on what we do, but on what we hear as God speaks to us his word. So Joseph's brothers, they are men of the promise. They belong to God's oath, but they're distressed. They fear for their lives. They're doing everything they can just to try to live another day by their own strength. So God, in his kindness, speaks the promise to them again. This time he speaks it to them by using the mouth of Joseph, the brother they had sold into slavery. Genesis 45. And Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, please." And they came near, and he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into slavery in Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. Genesis 45. It was not you who did this, says Joseph. It was God. We think it depends on us. That's our sin. If it depends on us, it is by our works. It's by the law, and the law gives no gifts. Joseph preaches to his brothers and says, it's not you, it's God. It's God who made the promise that Abraham would have many generations. It's God who made the promise that from Abraham's offspring would come the Savior by whom all nations are blessed. It's God who put his name at stake with the promise. So every step of the way, when we think it's us, we are departing the promise, just as did Joseph's brothers. For you live either by your works or by the promise, either by your worthiness or by grace, either by the law or by the gospel. No sinner, though, will live by works under the law. We know that. That's condemnation. That's death. The sinner is given life by the promise, by grace, by the gospel. So what does God do? The God who made the promise to you and gave his oath to you, who put his name on you in baptism, God does not depart his name. He will not forget his promise. God keeps having his promise given to you again and again. It's called the preaching of the gospel of Christ crucified. God keeps calling you back to the name he put on you in baptism. That is why every Lord's service begins with the pastor facing the congregation and re-announcing the promise by saying, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is the name on you. The promise God made to you will always seem at jeopardy until we are no longer in our sinful flesh, because we do not and will not and cannot know the promise by our flesh. We don't see it in our lives or with our eyes. The promise is known by faith. Faith lives by the word of God. So we know the promise by the preaching of the word, by God bringing his word to us in his sacrament. And we know it by the word that God gives to us as he gives us to keep speaking this word of promise, this word of gospel, as we're given to speak it to one another in the forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus. He made the promise to you. It's his name. It's his oath. He is keeping it for you. In the name of Jesus, amen.